back to Rush to Reason.
And we are back. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Health and Wellness Wednesday. Troy Duell back with us again. Troy, welcome. How are you?
Good, John. How are you?
Always a joy having you. I'm great. You're a health educator and founder of Centurion Labs. Appreciate you joining us, and you take time out of your day for us on a pretty routine basis, which I appreciate. And our, you know, our spotlight today, of course, is, you know, men's health and prostate and all of that. But reality, Troy, is we're also getting into, you know, summer months, and, you know, people are trying to, you know, be as healthy as they possibly can be. And I was mentioning a moment ago that, you know, the one thing that I try to avoid and try to even do on this show is to not do any kind of a, you know, one size fits all, because I think there's so many of those diets and programs and things out there that, you know, somebody would say, well, man, my, you know, my neighbor or my spouse or my brother, you know, they did so well on this, I'm going to try it. I'm going to try it out as well. And I'm not saying don't try things out, Troy, but I do know just through the course of experience and years that it is not a one size fits all.
It is definitely not. And I think a lot of those diets and plans that come in are great, but they're only for a season. And really, it comes down to a lifestyle. Mm. And until we get to that level of, say, you do a diet short term to get to the ideal weight that you're wanting, but then it has to change into a true lifestyle. And that's when truly taking ownership of your health comes into play, because ultimately, if you can't do it every day, then it's not something that's going to stick.
True.
So whatever it is we do, diet, exercise, any of that stuff, we've got to do it on a daily basis, or at least several days a week, and make sure that we're being consistent with it, because that's the only way to change.
One thing you and I have talked about many times too, which is where I do feel for people, because eating right and doing things healthy and all of that, yes, it is very difficult. You've got to be very disciplined. At the end of the day, Troy, this isn't like other things to where, you know, money, for example. Yeah, we need money on a daily basis to live and so on, but it's not quite the same. I mean, you could go a few days. I mean, yes, you're spending money by having a mortgage and the gas and light bill and, you know, gas in the car, but you get my drift. You're not necessarily, quote unquote, spending money daily in a physical sense. But eating, you know, we're eating at least two, if not three meals a day and snacks in between or whatever, because the reality, Troy, is we can't survive and we can't live life without putting something into our mouth, be it food and water both. So it's a little different than a lot of other things in life we need to be disciplined on, because those other things, it's a little, at least for me, Troy, it's easier because those aren't necessarily have-tos, but eating is.
It definitely is, and it affects the way we live every single day. So our eating affects our sleep. It affects the way we think. It affects whether we have more energy throughout the day. So all of those things are choices that truly affect us. And going back to your car analogy, we don't put sugar in our gas tank.
True.
Because we know that that doesn't help our cars run.
True.
And the same is true for us. We've got to really start just looking at it. And I know we talk about how it does take a lot of discipline, but the truth is, once you get a routine down and it becomes part of your lifestyle, it's no longer that difficult. I mean, it's hard to get out of the car and pump the gas, but we still make time to do it because we know that's the only way we'll get around.
True.
And if we just change our mindset to say, this is just a lifestyle and something I'm going to do, it doesn't have to be very difficult for us. And I think we see it as such a monumental task to change things that we don't start the old adage of eating the elephant by one bite at a time.
Good point.
I think it's very, very true when it comes to diet and lifestyle as well.
So somebody like you, where you talk about these things all the time, you're an educator. I mean, I do this an hour a week, and I am not the expert. I interview the experts. I let you guys do most of the talking and the, you know, the promotion of and what you do to change things and so on. So if you were talking to somebody one-on-one and you're trying to get them to make, you know, lifestyle changes, and I realize, Troy, that, yeah, there are some people, you know, there's people out there that can quit smoking and they can do it cold turkey, although they're rare. Most can't. Same thing with, you know, cold turkey type diets. Yeah, there are some that can just right off the bat get after it, do whatever that diet says. It's not a problem. But the reality is, for most, that's not the case. They do have to take little small bites. So what's your recommendation to folks along those lines? If they're going to make significant changes, where do they start?
I think the first thing is just take a look at what you're eating and what you're doing. And there may be one thing that you could cut out of your diet that you could replace. You know, one could be sodas. So if you drink a lot of sodas or drink a lot of sugary drinks, if there's any way that you can substitute just that one thing for water or something else that is more healthy than those sodas or sugary drinks, then that's one step you can do. The other thing I've heard a lot of people do, and I think there's been a lot of success, is cut out bread. So that's a carbohydrate that a lot of us eat. And you just pick one food that you can say, all right, I'm done with that, and I'm going to concentrate on everything else. And as long as we do that, then we can start making those baby steps in the right direction. And then if you're going out to eat, instead of those fries that you get on the side, ask for a side salad. Still get the burger, but go ahead and get a side salad. So you're just doing little things to change your habits, and then it becomes a habit over time. And we can truly start to make a difference in what we're doing. I think one of the biggest things for me that changed was no longer taking the elevator. But if there are stairs around, always finding a way to get those stairs.
Yeah, good point.
No longer worrying about getting that closest parking space that you possibly can. As long as it's safe, then park a little further out and get some more steps.
Yeah.
Those are little things we can do throughout the day to help us.
That one alone, I mean, what you just said a moment ago is huge as well, because I think we sort of get in this habit of, you know, we're in a big hurry, so we're going to try to find that close-in parking place. And, you know, and I'm as guilty as anybody when it comes to the elevator versus the stairs. We're on the 12th floor, and I honestly, Troy, should be taking at least half of those as stairs. And, you know, just those little things, even in my case, if I took, you know, three or four flights and then did the elevator, anything you could do to possibly get in more steps and more exercise would be the way to do it. The problem is all of us, myself included, you know, we're always worried about time. And, you know, I can get up the 12th floor way faster with the elevator than I can with the steps. And that's my own fault. I mean, with me, I just need to plan ahead and give myself that extra 5 minutes time to climb the stairs versus riding the elevator. And I'm my own worst enemy.
Absolutely. I think that's true of all of us. And then the truth is, when we're looking for that closer parking space, a lot of times we spend more time looking for the closer parking space than we could have just parking a little further away.
Well, that one I got down because I'm a car guy and I hate door dings and all that. So I'm the guy's going to park way out anyway. So that one's easy for me. It's like, and you're right, by the time I watch other people float around the parking lot looking for a close-in space, I've already walked to the store by the time they find a place, because I pull right out to the outer edge and park anyway. So that one's easy for me. It's the elevator one for me I got to master.
That does take a little bit more, but sometimes if I, one of my habits is if I push the button and if I have to wait more than 10 seconds, then I'm on my way.
Not a bad rule.
Up the stairs.
Yeah. Not a bad rule at all. And again, I think point being, Troy, people need to, and I said this earlier before you came on, you got to pick the things out that you know really affect you. And most adults, by the time they get to be our age, you kind of know the things that you're the most susceptible to. I know, Troy, you know, the dairy products aren't a big deal for me. I do fine with those. They're not a huge issue. They don't make me pick up weight. I don't feel bad eating, drinking, whatever. The carbs, though, Troy, the carbs are my enemy. I love them more than anything on the planet. I mean that sincerely. They are my nemesis and probably one of the biggest things I struggle to eliminate.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a great point. Everybody's body is different. And because of that, we're going to react different to different foods. Some people could eat bread, and some people could drink dairy and not be affected by it. But that same person who has dairy may be affected by the bread and vice versa.
Right.
So looking at those things and how your body responds to it and reacts, and just a great suggestion is maybe for the next week or two, keep a diary of what you're eating and
absolutely.
How do you feel the next day? Yeah, how do you feel the next day when you wake up? Do your joints ache more? Is it harder for you to get going? Do you have low energy? And then start looking back and saying, hey, is this because of what I've been eating? And is there a pattern in what I ate? And can I see that? Because
makes sense.
That's a huge, huge opportunity.
No, in the car world, we, you know, back when I owned my own repair shops and so on, if somebody was having a especially an intermittent problem with a car where you couldn't just pinpoint and get your finger on it. I would give my customers an actual quote-unquote journal, a sheet, if you would, Troy, that they would fill out along the same lines as to, okay, when this happens, what else led up to this? Did you just fill up with fuel? Where did you fill up? How hot is it outside? How cold is it outside? How long was the trip? I mean, all these things that we would talk about in relation to the car and getting it repaired, you're going to now apply to what we do in our own lives and our bodies and what we're eating and drinking and sleeping and so on. All that has the same effect. And to your point, journaling that makes a huge difference.
It makes a big difference. And they even have some apps that you can put on your phone. There are several of them out there that you can track exactly what you're eating. So you just pull out your phone, and as soon as you eat your meal, you can put it in there. You can put in exercise. You can do all those things if you really want to. And that's ultimately what it comes down to. And, you know, find out what works for you, because, again, everybody's going to be different. But the point is, just do something. Don't wait.
Okay.
Go ahead and get something done and figure out what's going to work best.
All right, moving into men, prostate health and all of that, the one thing that I do see in my notes, and you and I have talked about this in the past, that I do think and see is probably universal when it comes to men and prostate health. And again, I've had many a discussion with, you know, quote unquote experts when it comes to prostate health, and it's something that most men need to pay more attention to than they probably do. But one thing I see in my notes is cutting back on beer and coffee. Beer contains live yeast that can colonize the prostate and contribute to swelling and infection, and coffee and black tea are also irritants for some men and can exacerbate those symptoms. So, I mean, is that one of those situations, Troy, where it is universal and that applies to all men?
It does, for the most part. I mean, in studies, it shows that it's going to cause an issue. But what you can do is, if you're waking up in the middle of the night and you're having to go to the bathroom, then start cutting back on the beer, start cutting back on any caffeine, and cut back to certainly before lunch. But what they've found is that caffeine can stay into your system up to midnight if you have it at lunch even. So it may be that you have to cut back to the point where you're just doing it in the morning and then see how your body responds and reacts. Some people may be able to drink a beer, but if they drink two beers, then it creates an issue for their prostate. And those are things that you just have to be aware of and start paying attention to. And
that's right.
The more you do that, the better off you'll be.
I've had some friends in the past. This is not me, and I don't know why, but because we're all different, I guess, Troy, ultimately is that answer. I've got friends, though, that I've had where, you know, they couldn't drink a cup of coffee or anything caffeine-related after about 10 in the morning, or they literally would be up all night. And I'm a guy, Troy, I can have a cup of coffee at dinner, and it doesn't bother me later at night. But to your point, everybody's different, and I never could understand. It's like, man, you can't have a cup of coffee at, you know, 3 or 4 o'clock or even an after-dinner coffee at night because you're going to be up all night. To me, I just couldn't wrap my head around it until doing some of what I do here on Health and Wellness Wednesday and learning that, yeah, everybody's different and everybody's affected differently by the things we intake.
That's right, and that's why even if you go down the medication route or anything else, medicines don't work the same for everybody. So it's not a one-size-fits-all in medicine, and it's not a one-size-fits-all with our diet and exercise or anything else either.
Good point. Okay, when it comes to men's health, supplements, things along those lines that help us when it comes to, you know, prostate health and so on, and one thing I learned, oh gosh, it's been several years ago now, we interviewed somebody, and I did not know this until this interview, that if all men live long enough, they will, in fact, have prostate cancer, because it's just one of those things that's happening in a man, and how well we, you know, defend that as men has to do with how soon we may end up with that. But if we all live to be, you know, 120, for example, Troy, we would have prostate cancer, period, because it's just something that happens in men. So given that, how do we fend that off? What are things we as men can do, even on the supplement side, to maybe fend that off and keep our immune system up?
Yeah, I mean, it starts with what we've already talked about, making sure that you're eating right, avoiding those greasy foods, the processed foods, all of that. And go for the fruits and vegetables, because we know specifically tomatoes, omega-3s, all that will help your body really have a much healthier prostate.
Okay.
Then on top of that, there are certainly some supplements that you can take. There are a few saw palmetto, stinging nettles, beta-sitosterol, and then pomegranate. Those are some really good ones that you can start looking for and seeing if you can find them, put them together, and make sure that you're getting them at the right levels, because there are certain studies that they've done that they see certain levels, like salt palmetto. If you have 320 milligrams of that, studies have shown that it's been very, very beneficial in reducing that prostate size and helping with prevention of prostate cancer. Selenium is another big one. It's a trace mineral that, as soil levels have been depleted with our farming techniques and things like that, there's less selenium out there. So you have to get some with supplementation, and they recommend about 200 micrograms. And there's been the NIH actually says that at that 200 microgram level, that you're going to reduce your prostate cancer chances if you're taking that each day.
Okay.
So those are a few to look at. But, you know, to your point, I thought it was interesting that you mentioned this. Your prostate, when you're under the age of 40, having a prostate issue is 1 out of 40,000. Once you get to the age of 40, between 40 and 59, these numbers blow my mind, it's 1 out of 38. And then above the age of 60, it's 1 out of 15.
Wow.
So the older you get, the more your prostate likelihood of getting prostate cancer, and likelihood of having your prostate enlarge where you're having to wake up in the middle of the night, or any other issues you may have in that area.
All right. One thing, and I know we talk about this a lot with you, but you're the expert in this, and I think it's really important to give this information out to people. One thing I have to always remind myself of is not everybody listens to me every single day at exactly the same time. So even though I've repeated something several times, there's always somebody new listening that maybe has not heard what we're going to say. And that is, in your world, on the supplement world, you know, what constitutes a really good, high-quality supplement like what you guys have at Centurion Health versus others?
Yeah, I think it starts with the ingredients themselves. So you want to always look for ingredients that are the most bioavailable forms you can possibly get. Make sure that there is that those supplements are being third-party tested and that they're made in the U.S. Because I know there are a lot of supplements out there that aren't made in the U.S. and there are some shady actors out there, unfortunately. And I think that's one way that you can help limit the number of issues that you could have with that. But I would always look for third-party certified. I would always look for the most bioavailable forms of the vitamins or supplements that you're taking, because those are going to be the ones that have the greatest impact on your body and your health.
Okay. Makes total sense. Now, when it comes to you guys' products and the things that you have, and for all of you listening, you guys have, Troy, a vast array. I know there's some supplement companies out there where they may have, I don't know, Troy, half a dozen to a dozen different products. You far exceed that.
We do, and we have been growing, so very, very thankful for that. But you can go there, and it's got all kinds of supplements on there, for whether that's immune health, for prostate health, for cognitive health. We have a wide array of them if you have anybody in your audience that's pregnant. So we have those products as well that we've worked with several physicians to kind of help put these things together and bring the best thing we possibly can to market.
Awesome. Well, Troy, I know I always say this, but I mean it sincerely. I appreciate you taking time out of your day, taking time to join us. And I've said this before, and I know I can speak on your behalf. If there's ever a question somebody has on any of these topics, or hey, what supplement should I be taking? I've got this that I'm trying to overcome, or I just want to stay healthier in this area. I know you guys can help them out and answer questions along those lines as well. Am I right in saying that?
Absolutely. Be glad to help any way we can. And our new website is centurion.health. So CENTURION.HEALTH. You can go there and find any way to contact us, and we'll be glad to help any way we can.
Awesome. I'm going to put that in my notes. I appreciate it again, Troy. Thank you so much. I always enjoy having you on. I learn something every time you're with us, and I'm just very grateful that we've gotten to know you and have you at our disposal. I really mean that.
Well, John, I appreciate it as well. Always good to get on the call with you.
Well, I appreciate it. You have a great rest of your day, Troy.
Thank you. You did the same.
We'll do it very much. I appreciate it.